Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
And we welcome you inside the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Tony Baselli is on assignment tonight down in Palm Coast. The first of the caravan events are underway tonight. We'll go down there a little bit later, hear from senior writer John Osier from Jaguars.com. Get the latest for that. Gus Bradley coming up shortly. A live update, as we said, from Palm Coast. Headlines from the NFL. The Scouts Eye segment tonight, too, is Andy Dangler, 17th season with the Jaguars. Let's start off strong with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley, joining us via the phone line tonight. Gus, good evening. Where are you right now, Gus?
You know what? I just walked in the house. I stopped at the grocery store, got a some brats, and I just walked in.
I tell you what, that's the way to end an off-season program. You're an actual human being again, Gus.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
You know that, Log.
Wait a minute.
I'm not fancy. Just something simple like brats is all you need. But no, it's good. It's been a great day, a great couple days. So, you know, I just trying to relax at home a little bit.
Yeah, I remember the conversation. What was it, yesterday or the day before, about I'm going to drop a few pounds, and now you're telling me you're stopping off the grocery store getting brats.
Well, I'm not going to eat a bunch of brats. I'm only going to have one.
That's what I always say. It never works like that. Gus Bradley is with us. Let's start with the big news this morning, Gus. I don't know if a lot of folks went to the website yet today to watch the press conference, but the Jason Babin release. Why now, and what was the reasoning behind that for you?
Well, I mean, there's never a good time. And I know we had personnel meetings, and you know, the other night, and we were talking about it. It's brought to our attention. And, you know, it's just tough. It's, you know, you have conversations of, you know, if he does be one of the top 53, how do we get him active? You know, and you know, is he, and if he isn't a starter, could he play special teams? If he is a starter, we're fine. You know, just all through the whole gamut of conversations. And, you know, I think it was just brought to our attention, you know, that, you know, I think this is what's best for the organization right now. Not saying that he still can't play. We all feel like he can play. But I think it was just the number of Leos that we had and getting a chance to see some younger guys, and some of those guys could help on special teams. I think we're looking at the big picture. But it's always tough, you know, JP.
Well, and Gus, with that Leo position, I'm looking at two young guys that had really good offseason. One was Honore Branch that you've talked about, but the other one is Ryan Davis, who seems to develop every time you see him.
Right. He has. He's done a nice job and all through offseason. And, you know, he's also has the ability to be an inside rusher, be on special teams. So, you know, and it's just tough. You know, a guy that you trust who's been unbelievable in the organization. And I told him this morning, I said, you know, it's tough, the conversation we're having now, but I mean, he was a big part of what we're trying to build, and he has a legacy, and he was heavily involved. I know Babs and I had multiple conversations, so you know, he's going to have ownership in this, and you know, but at the same time, it gives opportunities for those younger guys.
Head coach Gus Bradley is with us. This is Jaguars Thursday on 1010XL. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Coach, you said something today in your post-practice press conference about playing excellent football, but you're looking for football excellence. What do you mean by all that, Gus?
Well, I think, you know, by nature, we're positive. And, you know, and I was watching it and thinking about it, and I'm seeing some excellent plays out there, seeing some guys do some really good things. And I think, you know, we're in the NFL, and you see some high-performance plays. But, you know, and that's excellent football. But when you can consistently have high performance, I think that's football excellence. And that's what we talked to our team about today in the team meeting was, okay, we're seeing some excellent football plays out there. That's great, but it's really not what we're after. We're after football excellence, that consistency. You know, we talk about it's a precision league and the culture of execution and things like that. And I think it fits well with that term. And that's where we really hit on our players to say, hey, we've got a month now. Come back in better shape than you've ever been. You know, really focus. and let's really gear our thoughts and efforts towards football excellence in training camp.
I'm sure you stress that. I mean, the players have a month off. I mean, you can really lose a lot that you've gained in a month as a player. So stressing the importance of this next month of preparation to your team to come back and be even better than you were had to be a high priority.
Well, I think it is, Jeff. It's a big deal to us just because, first of all, we have highly competitive guys, so you'd hope that's what they would do. Second of all, you know, some of these injuries that took place that we had in OTAs and rookie minicamp, some are, you know, due just, you know, how do you know? Is it to rookies? They've been traveling a lot before they get in the OTAs. You know, you try to uncover all the rocks and try to see what's going on. But I do know this, we've got to come in really good shape so that we're not going to immediately take off in a training camp, but the tempo's going to be even faster. And they've got to be ready for that. And I think, you know, our guys, they really responded to it. We hit them up on Monday with it in our initial meeting and then finish it off again today. So they understand, and they've kind of taken it over. So we'll be excited to see how they come back.
After 9 OTAs, a rookie mini camp, and a mandatory mini camp, were you pleased with what you were able to kind of progress with as a team?
Yes, I was. I think, you know, we talked about the defense playing with relentless passion. And wasn't it cool out there today? I know it wasn't open to the public, but just the passion the defense had and the enthusiasm, and guys were making plays and excited for one another. And, you know, I saw great strides in that. And that tells me that they're starting to understand the package really well. When they start getting excited for their teammates, it means they have a sense of confidence in what they're supposed to do, and they can open up that way. And that's, we hope to build a defense that plays extremely fast. So those were good signs. Offensively, you know, the way we bounced back yesterday, we had some fumbles and some miscues, and then to come back today and, play near perfect execution. And it shows me what we're all about. It's just that, football excellence thing that popped up again, that we just got to do it consistently. So, and the guys standing up, you know, Alan Hearns and we got like Mike Brewster. So many good stories took place on the offensive side. You know, it's cool to see.
Head coach Gus Bradley is with us. This is Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Coach, kind enough to join us from his home tonight over the phone line. Let's go quarterbacks now, Coach. Of course, you know, Chad Henne's the guy. He's the starter. You've named him that. But even before the draft, Bortles has come in. He said the other day he said he's working one thing at a time, mainly footwork. The deep ball things will come later. How do you see the position? Is it how you envision this going into the draft? Is it worked out so far?
Yeah, I think it has. I think, they've all done a nice job. I mean, we see glimpses of even the young guys. And, you know, like Ricky did a nice job, and Steven, they all have done a great job. And I think the guy that really stood out, though, was Chad. I was really impressed, and I know our coaching staff was, just the consistency. You know, the day in and day out, and I think he really is starting to own the offense, and he's got a chance to, you know, play at a high level, at his best level, I think, if he continues going in this direction. So, very excited about his performance. And then with Blake, just really confident and competitive, and he is. He's just, you know, instead of going, okay, I got to correct these 10 things, he's just knocking them out one by one. And rest assured, you know, even tomorrow he might be in, or Monday, and he might be working at some of those things. That's just the type of guy he is. So, yeah, very pleased with that position.
Well, and with that position, the conversation, if it hadn't happened already, you talked about some of the personnel conversations that had happened with Jason Babin. That conversation about the number of quarterbacks to keep on the roster, whether it be two or three, if it hasn't happened already, it's got to be coming. Has that been talked about?
Yeah, I mean, you know that, you know, you're not going to keep four. You know that, unless you can, you know, have one on the practice squad. But generally that doesn't happen. So, you know, there's conversations about that. It's really competitive now, really competitive group. So we'll see how it plays out, you know, and that's what training camp and the preseason games are for.
Head coach Gus Bradley is with us. You talk about the training camp battles the other day, and the first one you said was on the offensive line at right guard. It's a position you guys drafted and actually traded up to draft in that third round with Linder. McClendon's there as well. Kind of preview that battle in training camp, if you will.
Well, I think Jock has really done a good job. You know, maybe going into the draft, we looked at it and said, okay, here's his strengths, here's his weaknesses. You know, can we live with some of the weaknesses? But his off season was very good. Some of the things now that we're seeing in OTAs and minicamp, we're saying, okay, we see a Jock. You know, he kind of, some of those weaknesses are really, he's eliminated. And it's put him in position to really compete for that spot. Now, with Linder, very athletic. He's just young and he's learning it, but a student of the game, very mature, you know, for coming in. He's got a great high side to him, and, you know, it's just going to be a battle. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But, boy, as a coach, you couldn't be more pleased that you have competition. And I think they truly are competing, you know, within themselves to be their best. And you know, we'll see what happens because they're all helping one another out.
Right. And you've talked about how pleased you are with Luke Jokel's progress on the other side. But the guy that really has kind of stood out and hadn't been talked much about is also coming back from an injury, Clay Harbor. From watching him in OTAs and mini camp, I mean, to think that the guy went through what he went through and look as good as he's looked, I thought he's had a tremendous offseason.
Yeah, that's very perceptive because we spent some time talking about him in our personnel meeting and just the progress he's made and the toughness he showed and the competitiveness he showed. And you're right, he has had a good OTAs and mini camp. And just, you know, a little bit banged up, but fighting through it. And he's really captured it.
Last couple of minutes with head coach Gus Bradley on Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. You mentioned the injuries earlier, the wide receivers that are down, but a guy that you guys went after in free agency early was Dakota Watson to play that outside linebacker spot. He's been down most of this offseason, Gus, and is there some concern creeping in about him? Because you had him slated to do a lot of things for you.
Right. Well, you know, we had him slated to be at that auto position and possibly get some rushes. So I think, you know, we're just really being cautious to make sure that he's at full strength when he returns. And it's part of our return to play protocol. So I think to ensure that when training camp starts, he's ready to go. You know, we've been, like I said, just a little bit hesitant on how much to push him. So, you know, we feel good about him. He's really a quick learner, goes through some of the walkthroughs. He picks things up. So it'll just be a matter of getting reps in there. But, you know, we still feel really good about him.
With the offseason, with the draft having moved back and kind of compressing everything into a very tight window, there hasn't been much time off, I would guess, for the coaching staff and the personnel staff. Are you guys going to finally get a chance to get away and recharge the batteries before you start the grind?
Well, that's the plan. You know, I know the coaches, after today's practice, they watched it, and the plan was to get them out of the office and, you know, spend some time with their family. So they'll get a couple weeks off here and then, you know, spend some time, and they'll do some traveling and get caught up with some loved ones. And I know the scouting department's going to do the same. So it's good for them. They've really put in a lot of work. And, you know, you think about the draft and then right into off-season conditioning and practice and OTAs and then mini camp. So much needed, but I know they're looking forward to it.
Gus, I know you're headed to Zumbrata to be in the Covered Bridge Music and Arts Festival Parade. You're the Grand Marshal this year. I know you're pumped about going
back
home, right?
Bring that up, huh? Logs told you to bring that up.
That's big. How many times have you been to that festival, Gus?
You know what? This is going to be my first time, but you know, you got to remember your roots and where you're raised. It's a town. When I grew up, it was about 900 people, but Zumbrota now, I think, is 2,500, so it might be hyped up a little bit more than I knew in the past, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's really good people, and it also gives me a chance to go back and see my mom. I haven't seen her since this fall and some of my family, so I'm really excited, looking forward to going back.
Gus, we appreciate it. Enjoy your bratwurst tonight with the family.
Bratwurst, not multiple, just one.
Singular. Gus Bradley, head coach of the Jags, joining us on Jaguars Thursday. Always great to hear from head coach Gus Bradley, certainly on
Thank
a night
guys.
At the house, no doubt about that. Reminder, get that three-game ticket pack now. Select either the Giants or the Steelers game and then choose any two preseason or home games. Call 633-2000 or click the ticket tab on Jaguars.com. When we return from on Jaguars Thursday, headlines from around the National Football League. We'll get an update from Palm Coast. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier is there. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Our thanks to head coach Gus Bradley for joining us in the first segment tonight. Coming up, Scout Side, Jeff Loggeman sitting down with a member of the personnel scouting department each week. This week it's Assistant Director of Player Personnel Andy Dingler, who's now in his 17th year here, right, Jeff?
That is, 17th year. And very well respected around the league, and for a new general manager, as Dave Caldwell came in, to retain a guy who's been here that long, I think speaks volumes about Andy.
That'll come up about 15 minutes or so from now.
By the way, let me add this, too, that it's amazing how much that NFL coaching staffs and personnel staffs work. I mean, the number of hours that they put in.
It's insane.
I mean, NFL coaching staffs go from evaluating their own roster at the conclusion of a season to then evaluating free agency and then evaluating college talent and then trying to build your game plan for your football team going forward. And then all of a sudden, then the draft happens, and after that, you hit the ground running. I mean, so much deserved time off for these coaches. Much, much deserved.
Not a bad living to go with that.
And personnel, too. No, I mean, they make a good
living.
They
work for it, though.
They make a good living, but they earn every penny.
No doubt about that. Let's look around the National Football League this week, starting in Washington, D.C. Of course, you may have heard the news. The United States Patent and Trademark Office has canceled the trademark registration for the Redskins nickname. They call the name disparaging to Native Americans. There's an appeal process coming, I'm sure, from Snyder and the Redskins. If the Redskins lose that appeal, then anyone can use the Redskins name for financial gain. They can't use the court system to battle it. Now, here's the question for you. Yep. If Snyder caves and changes the name, what would the name of the new Washington team be? You're from that area.
That's a great question.
What should it be?
I kind of like the Senators, right?
Okay.
Bring back the old baseball name.
Why not?
You know, but, you know, hey, look.
Griffith Stadium's long gone.
It's not going away yet. You know, that happened, I guess, 15 years ago. They lost a patent on it. It was appealed. Redskins won. So this is a process. This is a process. At some point or another, though, if the voices continue to grow louder, you know, the NFL and Dan Snyder is going to need to do something.
This is not a new issue either. There's a letter that came out during this process from 1972 from Edward Bennett Williams to Commissioner Roselle at the time. He had met with representatives from different Native American groups who had tried to get him to change the name even back then, 1972. So this has been an ongoing process. We'll see how this goes moving forward. To the Big Easy, New Orleans Saints, tight end or wide receiver? That's the question for Jimmy Graham. They wrapped up a grievance hearing on Wednesday after 2 days in a New Orleans hotel to determine that franchise tag calculation. As a tight end, $7.5 million. As a wide receiver, it's $12.3
million. It's about $5 million difference.
It's a big difference. 67% of his snaps were in the slot or out wide, but he was drafted, listed, and voted to the Pro Bowl as a tight end. And how about this? His personal Twitter and website, he calls himself a tight end.
Yeah, but
what is he, a tight end or a receiver?
That doesn't matter. It's based upon where he's lining up, and it's going to be an interesting battle. Typically what happens in cases like this, the team and the players, you know, people, agents, end up negotiating something that's going to fall somewhere in the middle of the range. And I'm sure it's going to get worked out before it's forced to a conclusion.
As you said, in the CBA, it clearly states, the franchise position designation is based on the position, quote, at which the franchise player participated in the most plays during the prior league year, period.
Well, see, I'm not a big fan of this tagging process in the National Football League. I think what they should do is, instead of using, you know, assigning values to positions, because, you know, some guys that play a position are worth more than another guy that plays that position, and people would view them as being similar or comparable talents. I think they ought to get rid of the entire tag process as far as franchise or transition, and say, okay, if you get tagged, it doesn't matter what position you are, here's what the money is. You get a percentage of the cap dedicated just to you at that tag value.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would eliminate a lot of this stuff. You know, then you would have a team and players, agents negotiating in a truly a free system. But it's not a truly free system. I don't like that.
It's not that easy to change something like that, too, is it?
Well, it's a collective bargaining process. Right. It's not that difficult to change. You know, I mean, they changed the structure of the rookie contracts, where now, I mean, almost the entire rookie class is already signed.
Yeah, there's only a few stragglers. Two of them are here.
And with the big change in that, to me, I don't see why the union at that point didn't say, hey, look, let's just eliminate the transition and the franchise tagging process.
We'll wrap up our look around the league in San Francisco and in Houston. Holdouts for mandatory minicamp this week. Something the Jags didn't have to worry about, which is great news. But wide receiver Andre Johnson of the Texans and Vernon Davis, tight end of the 49ers, both facing fines of up to $70,000 for missing mandatory minicamp. My question to you, Jeff, which one of those two players, Johnson for the Texans or Davis for the 49ers, is more important to their team's cause this year to get wrapped up sooner?
Well, my opinion is that Johnson is the guy that probably needed the mandatory minicamp more so than a Vernon Davis, because you have a change in head coach, you have a change in a system in Houston.
Quarterback, too.
But at the end of the day, Johnson appears to want out of Houston. So, in the end,
appears
it doesn't really matter that he's missing time because he doesn't want to play there. You know, but, you know, you know, Vernon Davis is not the only one that didn't go to the minicamp. You know, they got Alex Boone, a starting guard, who is underpaid, and rightly so. But Vernon Davis is a guy that's is paid, I think, right around $5 million a year, maybe a little bit more than that. Got a pretty good contract. And he also has an agreement with a company called Fantex, where they do trades and player share. And that kind of comes into the equation here, because people invested in Vernon Davis, almost in like a stock exchange type situation, to where now you have a player who's not reporting to a mandatory minicamp. He already cost himself the amount of offseason workout bonuses he could have earned.
Right.
Now he's cost himself, I think, about $70,000 fine for missing the mandatory minicamp. And if he doesn't report to training camp, he's going to get fined in a huge way. And all this could affect these investments, the stock that people bought, and Vernon Davis. So at the end of the day, in reality, Vernon Davis is the one who's getting hurt the most.
Buyer beware on the stock.
Never invest in professional athletes in the stock situation.
Take it from a former professional athlete. Let's go quickly around the AFC South. We'll get to John Osier from Palm Coast coming up from the Jaguars Caravan. We start in Houston. We mentioned Johnson, but they've named a starting quarterback, too. Ryan Fitzpatrick named the starter by Bill O'Brien yesterday. The Texans traded T.J. Yates. He's tied for the most playoff wins in that franchise's history, by the way, to the Falcons in exchange for linebacker Akeem Dent. He started 7 games a year ago. So it seems like the quarterback situation's shaking out in Houston.
Well, I mean, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, that Fitzpatrick was going to win that job.
Yeah, he's the
guy. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. You're telling me that Yates or Keenum was going to win the job over a guy who has been a starting quarterback before, got a franchise-type contract with the Buffalo Bills. He's a smart player. It's a talented roster. He's never going to make those around him better. He's kind of like Chad Henne in a lot of ways, in that he is going to be as good as the people around him. And he's got some really good people around him in Houston, and Arian Foster and maybe Johnson.
Let's visit our friends in Indianapolis. Tight end Dallas Clark officially retired as a Colt Wednesday, 11-year career, favorite target of Peyton, of course. How good was he in the realm of tight ends?
In that offense, he was tremendous for Peyton Manning. Dallas Clark was not a blocker. He wasn't a Mercedes Lewis. He didn't have a lot of value in the running game. But when you've got a quarterback who is one of the all-time great passers in the National Football League, despite what Terry Bradshaw may say, having a tight end that can catch the ball and literally be a deep threat and stress the middle of the field was huge for Peyton Manning. That's why he is viewed at what he is today.
Let's go to Nashville, I guess New York, really. Former Titans running back Chris Johnson, now a Jet, said on Sirius XM this week that the Titans, quote, did me wrong with the timing of his release.
Oh, come on.
Quote, I think they were just being nasty, he told them.
He was overpaid while he was there.
They would have been on the hook for $8 million if he was hurt. He signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the Jets instead. Was he wronged, or were they just being nasty with him?
No, that's just CJ2K living in his own little Wayne's world. I mean, he's nuts. I mean, the last couple years, the guy would go down with a simple ankle tackle. And then criticizes offensive linemen throughout the season, saying we're not doing a good enough job up front. I mean, way to make it about, you know, somebody else's fault for not having the numbers of productivity that you had in previous years. The reality of it is that Chris Johnson was not the same back that he was back when he had over 2,000 yards rushing. You know, and if anything that he says coming out is you know, non-critical of himself. I mean, he's just crazy. Come on, Chris. You know, and to pay him $8 million with the running back market, with where that is at now, I don't know if there is a running back with the exception of Adrian Peterson anymore in the National Football League that's worth $8 million a year.
I can't think of another one either.
No. I mean, Arian Foster is not anymore because he's had 2 years of kind of so-so production.
That's true. That's our look around the National Football League and the AFC South. The Jaguars caravan season has started. Tonight, Tony Vaselli, our teammate here, is down there emceeing the event in Palm Coast. Players Ace Sanders, Denard Robinson, Cam Bradfield as well. Let's go down to Palm Coast. We'll go to the phone line now, get a report from Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Johnny O, what's up down there?
JP, how you doing?
Doing well. How's the what's the scene like at the first caravan of the year?
Well, it's quite a scene, but I'll be honest with you. I spent the last maybe 5-10 minutes listening to Vaselli's spiel. I get enough of that. You know, I mean, so I was happy when you called. It gave me a chance to step away. I think Denard Robinson and Derek Marks and Cam Bradfield will be talking soon. I'd much rather go back and listen to them.
Well, I'm sure you'll have a chance coming up. I know Tony loves this kind of stuff, though, right?
He's built for it. And, you know, the crowd still thinks he's good. So it's good for him. He lives for this.
John Osier is with us, Jaguars.com senior writer. What's the crowd like? Good attendance tonight in Palm Coast?
Well, it's a good crowd. And obviously Palm Coast is important to this market. So, you know, they're here. They're excited. I'm standing across the, you know, parking lot and watching Jackson DeVille do his thing. So they're excited. It's hard to get an estimate for the numbers because they're kind of spread out. But I've been to a few of these. And it's a pretty good crowd. And, again, it's not surprising. It's pretty indicative. Talking to fans, talking to the players who are down here, no matter where this team goes right now, there's going to be an excitement level because people are excited about the team. So I think this caravan this week is going to be a lot of fun. Four stops, and JP, you probably have the list. But I know they're going to Oviedo tomorrow, and there's Brunswick at some point.
Yeah.
So it is a lot of fun.
All right, Johnny, to take you back to a little football from the field.
Sure.
If you had to say my biggest impression from the all season for this Jaguars football team of 2014, it would be this.
Well, not necessarily getting it from OTAs, but, you know, Joe, I think you and I talked in the field a couple of times, just how deep the defensive line has a chance to be and how important that can be. And how much better the offensive line might be. The two lines, it's so hard to tell in OTA, but on paper and seeing them out there, when you look at them and sort of see what they might be, you know, I just think that on those two fronts, which is where the foundation of your offense and defense are built, they just look like they're in so much better shape. I don't think we'll really know that until preseason, but on paper at least, and the feeling you get is that I guess those could be the areas that maybe nobody's talking about. It's hard to talk about in OTA. It's going to be very interesting to watch how that develops in training camp.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier is with us. John, you mentioned that Sendarek Marks is there, right? And you've spent a lot of time with him recently, the last week or so, in the locker room, certainly today after Babin's move. But yeah. In the past, you know, you had an editorial, I think, earlier this week on Sendarek.
Sure.
And where he is right now. And he can't be happier with what has happened with his situation.
Well, and I said, Derek's an interesting guy. He is, from the time he got here, You know, at first when he signed, if you remember, I don't want to say he was an afterthought, but it was really Roy Miller that people talked about. And it was some other guys in that free agency class, Alan Ball. It wasn't necessarily some Derek Marsh a lot of people talked about. And very quickly last year when you met him in the offseason, you realized that he had a feeling that he was a good fit for this. And he was very confident from talking to Gus and talking to Dave that this was going to work out. And it's really one of those, you know, it's kind of a cool story because from the start it was apparent he was right. And he knew he would fit better in this scheme. He felt like he could play the technique he was going to be able to ask to play. He wasn't a nose tackle. He had played some of that style in Tennessee. He really thought this was going to work. And it's sort of a case where free agency doesn't always work. It's sometimes not a good fit. You sometimes see a guy bust, get overpaid, his question mark. So Derek Marsh is an example of why free agency really can be great for players and teams. That works for both sides. Doesn't always happen. So well, yeah, he's excited. He's a good fit.
Well, and Johnny, you just hope that the same type of result will happen with Ziggy Hood, a guy who was, you know, quote unquote, maybe miscast in the role that he was in Pittsburgh and comes here with a little different, you know, technique, kind of like with what Senderic has made the transition to, that the results are the same.
Well, certainly that's where, you know, that's where a good personnel department, a good general manager, and good communication with the head coach, where all of that's going to come to fruition, right? Because you've got the coach is able to say, this is what our scheme's about. And the GM can go look and say, you know what? Ziggy Hood's not a first-tier free agent, but he might really fit what we're doing. That's where personnel departments and coaches and being able to be on the same page really make a difference. It worked with Senderic. It's really worked with a lot of their free agents. They've gotten a lot of bang for their buck since they've gotten here with some guys they didn't pay very much last year. Paid a little more this year, so it'll be interesting to see if that continues to work out as they sort of raise the stakes with their free agents.
All right, Johnny. Hey, appreciate the time, and we're going to let you get back to listening to Buscelli.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a chore, but, yeah, you got to earn your money somewhere, right?
Right. Hey, one final question, Johnny, before you go. How many Jeff Lagerman jerseys have you seen down there tonight?
Well, unfortunately for Jeff, he is outnumbered by Buscelli. I see two Buscelli jerseys, and the problem with that is, honestly, I'm not making this up. I saw him, and within 5 minutes, Tony's pointing it out to me. Hey, you see the Buscelli jerseys? So, you know, it's a whole thing.
But he didn't tell you. He didn't tell you that he brought them with him.
The quote was, I'm pretty big down here.
We'll leave on that one. John, have a great night. Thank you.
All right, guys. Enjoyed it. We'll talk to you.
John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com from Palm Coast. That doesn't surprise me at all, Jeff, about Tony. You
know? No, but Johnny better be careful. Tony starts hearing some of that hammering there that he took by Johnny O.
Yeah.
Tony might sit on him.
He might indeed. Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. When we return, the Scout's Eye. Lagerman visits with Jaguars Assistant Director of Player Personnel, Andy Dingler. That and more coming up. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, to get caught up on all the latest Jags news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Also on Jaguars.com this week, Jeff, I don't know if you saw it, Jags Wired, presented by Dunkin' Donuts. Running backs coach Terry Richardson was my
I saw that up, and I have not watched it yet, but I look forward to watching it. Terry is an excellent teacher. Excellent teacher. Joy to watch.
Jed Fish was mic'd up as well.
He's like the mad scientist. I mean, I don't know if I've ever met anybody that can watch a play and know what all 11 guys just did on that play and what they should have done or what they did right. I mean, he is extremely bright.
Were you ever mic'd up, Jeff? Or was that before your time?
I don't think they had the technology back then.
Back in the days of leather helmets and
they had those
gridiron.
The only microphones they had back then was those big round circular things. But I think they actually had the technology because they had a guy from the Buccaneers that was mic'd up one time, a running back, and he was talking to me, and it was picking up his voice, and he was talking smack, saying, "Ah, you just old, Lagerman. You just old." I'm like, yeah, whatever.
That's like this studio is mic'd up. Yeah, Lagerman, you're old, Lagerman. That's what I say.
What
all
I
time.
Was thinking in the back of my mind was, I can't wait till next time you carry your ball because I'm going to try to break your legs.
On that note, this is Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Glad you're with us tonight. Scout's Eye, Andy Dingler, now in his 17th season with the Jags, second in the role of assistant director of player personnel, a couple years as a college personnel director, national scout, college scout for a long time since the late 90s here, and very well respected about around this building, certainly, and around the league.
Absolutely, and then you could see that because during the draft process, when typically Dave Caldwell would go and talk to the media after draft pick, as the draft started to get a little bit later on, Andy Dingler was the one that was talking
yep.
to the media. And one thing that I really wanted to ask Andy about was the process. Okay, now that the draft is over with and mini camps, OTAs are complete, what happens from here? And here's Andy. Welcome into this week's Scout's Eye. And this week we're joined by Assistant Director of Player Personnel, Andy Dingler. And Andy, you've been involved with the Jaguars for 17 years.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a great run. We enjoyed it. Been very fortunate.
For you guys, this time of year, the draft is over with, the OTAs and mini camps are over with. What do you guys do? Hang out at the pool and drink cocktails with umbrellas in it?
Well, I think a lot of people believe that. But what we really do is focus on next year's players. We try to get a two-year database of their play as juniors and then as a senior to see if there's any changes, how they've improved, especially the young guys that maybe were junior college transfers and haven't had much experience. So what we really try to do is get a lot of tape work done on them, an initial background.
Right. And so you're looking basically at the rising seniors now to formulate a game plan for the fall, right? Because, I mean, how many major colleges are there in the country?
I think 119 or 100. I might be wrong on that, or 121, but there's a ton of them. So what we try to do is we belong there. There's two scouting combines. There's National and Blesto. I started out as a National Scout many years ago, and we now belong to National. So what we do is their scouts go out as we go to test this year's draft-eligible players. They look at next year's rising seniors, and they are allowed to do get a height, weight, hand and arm, give them the Wunderlich test, and run them in a couple 40s if they're allowed at the school.
Does that happen at at the school, or is that at some type of central location like the combine?
No. The underclassmen, each school sets up a time for the scouts to come through and to test them. And if you're a team scout and they're having their senior day and their junior day on the same day, you can time guys. Like I timed guys at University of Wyoming this year.
Okay.
What we try to do is pinpoint, usually like at FSU or in Florida, Ohio State, all those schools, you're going to go in every year. Mm-hmm. It's the other schools, the mid-majors, the D1AA schools, where they might have prospects. And if they're good enough, then it kind of sets where we need to send our personnel into next fall. So it's really, investing your time and your money wisely for next fall.
We're basically putting a game plan together so that when the fall happens, you're efficient.
That's exactly correct. That's right. And kind of when you set up your visits in the fall, we have six area scouts. They will canvass all the schools in their area that have prospects. We have two, a Western Regional and Eastern Regional, and there's Kyle O'Brien and myself really travel all over the country. So we're looking at like different tiers, the A players, the B players, and the C players. And really the area scouts really cover all three of them. Mm-hmm. And then the A's and B's are covered in the Eastern and Western Regional.
With the different scouts, for example, you're the assistant director of player personnel, and then you have just scouts. Scouts are on the road a ton, aren't they?
Yeah.
But, I mean, pretty much all fall, right, for 5 months out of the year?
And basically it's you're out 12 and you're home 2 days. So when you get home, you fly home late Thursday night or early Friday, and then you leave either Sunday evening, if you can get out Monday morning. Most of the time you got to leave on Sunday to get to where you want to be. And I think a lot of people have a misconception that people say, well, all you do is, what games do you go to? I'm like, well, I enjoy going to games. I'm fortunate that we get to do that, but there's so much more that's involved through the week,
right?
On your school visits.
Now, with some scouts that have a particular region, do they live in that region to make it more efficient for them in some cases?
I think in the past, yes, that's how it used to be. And theoretically, I think you know, the information, it used to be to live in that area because you used to read the newspaper and it used to be more localized. And now it's, you know, with the internet, it's right. not as paramount because there's so much more information that's readily available. So it's not as important to live there now as it was in the past.
Relationships have to be so important for the scouting process. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like anything else, you have to have people that you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
Scouts have to work hard to build those relationships at all those different schools, don't they?
Well, and it is a people business, you know, and we're fortunate, you know, for the majority of guys, I think, in football, they're self-driven, they're self-motivated, and it gives us an opportunity after a while to go into the school and really sit down and get to know people. And, you know, when you sit down, you know, our product is trying to identify football players, and we want guys that are self-motivated, self-driven, just like coaches are.
Code black players.
That's
We've
exactly
heard that term
oh, yeah.
on here before.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the mantras that you know, Coach Bradley uses, and we really, when it really comes down to it, it's paramount for us to get those type of players which fit his personality, what he wants here, and what we're trying to do is just give them the parameters of each position. And to give them guys that are highly competitive. And so when we go to schools, I mean, it's important for us to identify players that, you know, love football, number one, and then, you know, get into their background. Over time, that's a process. But when you go to the school initially, you really want to have somebody that you can trust in regards to giving you information about a player, Jeff.
Give me an example of how a relationship, and I don't want anything recently, but to go back in your past, to give me an example of a relationship that you specifically had that really paid off, that where you got some information that turned out to be a really good player.
Yeah, I can go both ways.
Okay.
You know, I mean, in regards to, you know, you really want to draft the right player, but not draft the wrong player either. So
We can protect. We don't have to use names here.
Oh, and I won't use any. I probably won't use any, but there was a guy I really liked as a player, and I went through – it took me all the way up to his pro day because sometimes in the – you know, the coaches, they're squeezed. They have to win games in the fall. Sometimes they're not as accessible. In the springtime, sometimes you can get them one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this was his position coach, and he said – you know, stay clear of him because of the fact that he's not accountable, he's not reliable. And it was at a major school that it made a huge impact on me because I don't want to bring that type of a player, and no one in our department wants to bring a player that's going to cause, you know, heartache for people around here.
Right.
You know, they're going to be in the schools, and we want people that are reliable and accountable. So.
And on the flip side of that, sometimes you may get information of a guy that you overlook, right?
Oh, no question. And that's like anything, I think a lot of times that is why we have kind of the checks and balances that we have within our department, because not every scout sees people the same way, whether as they're a person or as a player. So you will have a variance of opinions on players as you go through the process, and that's what makes it exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then being on the college side more, I've been on the college side more, every year is a renewal. It's a renewal of new players, new issues.
Well, college staffs, I mean, sometimes they're all over the place.
That's right.
You have to renew it every year.
Yeah, and it's interesting, over the time, the longer you're in it, you know, it is such like a liquid profession. Guys move from spot to spot. So a guy you knew maybe at University of New Hampshire, he might be at Oregon State the next year. So
yep.
It's just good to build rapport with people, and it's enjoyable, and you know, never have ever woke up in a day when I'm on the road and say I got to go to the University of Iowa. I enjoy the process of going through and identifying the players, getting to know the players. And then, you know, going to the games, going to practices. It's a pretty good life. I mean, other than being
sure.
on the road for as long as we are at
right.
times,
right.
You figure we're on the road probably 200 to 220 nights a year, I would imagine. Through meetings and everything. So,
well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us here for Scouts Talk.
Definitely my pleasure, Jeff.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Andy Dingler, Assistant Director of Player Personnel for the Jaguars. Relationships, Jeff, got to have them.
I think it doesn't surprise me, but I think a lot of people would be surprised in the, hey, it is a relationship business because, I mean, the true way to get to know a prospect is to talk to the people that have been around him for a long period of time. Because, you know, there's a lot of programs that have an ulterior motive to trying to promote a guy. because it makes their program look better the more players that they have that are drafted. So you have to find the honest ones, and I think Andy did a great job of emphasizing that.
As they say, you have to have a good BS meter, right?
Yeah, because you got to filter now.
That's right.
You got to filter. But once you get somebody that you know you can trust, just like in any business, you're good to go.
Scouts Eye video coming up later on Jaguars.com. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we return, we'll wrap up the off-season program and what's coming up for the Jaguars. It's caravan season and much more. A couple of fan clubs having rallies this weekend, too. We'll preview that coming up next. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman, final 5 minutes or so of the show. Gus Bradley joined us earlier. Thanks to the head coach, about to grill some bratwurst tonight. He joined us on the phone line. One singular bratwurst for himself. No word on how many of the boys are going to eat tonight, but we'll probably get that out of him a little later. Andy Dingler joined you just a moment ago on Scouts Eye. John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com, was down in Palm Coast.
How about 200 days a year?
That's incredible.
On the road for some of these scouts, and that's probably a little on the low side. I mean, that's a tremendous amount. And that's why I was kind of asking him, you know, do the scouts live in their area, or you know, do they all live here in town? Because you would think that they would get to spend more time at home if they lived in the area that they were scouting. But you know, all of a sudden, next year, hey, you might get reassigned, you know, and then if you're reassigned, then you got to sell a house and move the whole family to another area. That would be difficult.
Here's what's coming up for the Jags. There's no football because this is the dead zone, Jeff. So no official.
Well, not quite yet.
Football,
I mean, there's still some teams that have mini camps to come up. So I mean, so it's not really the dead zone yet when the last team concludes its mini camp. But you know what? This dead zone is smaller now.
You bet. The draft got moved back.
Yeah, with the draft having moved back, now the dead zone is smaller. We kind of had a mini dead zone there prior to the draft because everybody's like, okay, can we just have the draft? You know, so that kind of created a mini dead zone, and now we will be entering. It's certainly going to be a dead zone somewhat for the Jaguars as far as on-the-field activity being reported.
Tomorrow morning, the 11th annual Got Skills Rookie Day. More than 250 kids have signed up, ages 6 to 14. I'll emcee that event tomorrow. Marcus Pollard will be there. Most of the rookie class will be there as well. Great event tomorrow at the practice fields here. Tonight in Palm Coast, tomorrow Oviedo. It's Bortles, Shorts, and Storm Johnson at that caravan appearance. Saturday, Port Orange, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Zane Beatles. I'll be at both of those as well. And the caravan season has started now, too.
So are you going to criticize Buscelli like Johnny O did over the next couple events or what?
I need to step up my game in that, actually.
I can't believe it.
John's just beat me on that tonight. I can do it in person, though. Yeah, so,
did we mention the transactions that happened today? Just want to make people – I mean, nothing earth-shattering. They released a couple of wide receivers that were kind of signed because of the injuries. Those guys were released. They signed a long snapper
and a punter/kicker as well.
I mean, it's like I said, nothing earth-shattering.
We do want to mention a couple of the fan clubs having events this weekend. Tomorrow night, the Bold City Brigade
Where
event.
Where they at?
Benefiting the Buscelli Foundation tomorrow night at 1904 Music Hall downtown at Ocean and Bay. $25, your first pint's free. A pint glass comes with that. It's 7 to 11. Your last chance to register, pre-register right now, boldcitybrigade.com.
Nice.
Teal Street Hooligans, Saturday at 1 o'clock. $30 at the door. You can bring toiletries for the Sulzbacher Center. You'll get some raffle tickets out of that at the Farrah and Farrah Courtyard, 10 West Adams Street downtown. Facebook.com/Teal Street Hooligans.
Do they get along?
I believe they do.
Bold City Brigade, Teal Street Hooligans.
I hope so.
I'm just curious.
We're all on the same team.
No, I'm just kind of curious. You know.
Have you ever circled up with the Teal Street Hooligans
what was the old Broadway show where you had the two gangs? West Side Story. I'm wondering
don't
if it's
look
that
at me.
Type
I don't
of situation.
Know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course you don't know. You're from Alabama, for God's sake.
Know
you were already a part of the Jets.
I know, but just the name of the play was actually escaping me. But see, I had to go to the Philadelphia native.
Yeah, he would know.
You know, where he got a little bit of culture growing up, unlike, you know, you from Alabama.
Jeffrey, let's put on a musical.
It has been a pleasure tonight, as always. You're out next week for some family business.
Well,
right?
I'll probably be in.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it'll be great to see you. Yeah. Tony's out next week. He'll be.
Well, he's just like out every week
Week. We haven't seen him in a month.
Yeah.
Well, that's in Brunswick. Next week, next Thursday. Friday of next week is in Tallahassee. And no official word on the players.
I'm sure Telvin Smith will be a part of that.
Yes, and maybe Geno Hayes, too.
And Geno Hayes, absolutely.
And maybe Dakota Watson, too.
That'd be a nice fit.
Jaguars Manager Radio's Joe Fortunato. You just heard him. Our thanks to Ryan Bonifant back in the studio. Our thanks to Andy Dingler, Assistant Director of Player Personnel. John Osier joined us from Palm Coast. For Jeff Lagerman, this is J.P. Shadrick. Our thanks to Head Coach Gus Bradley for joining us as well. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.